What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Welcome back to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long in studio. Want to tell everybody at 5:20, the legendary Archie Manning will join us, talking certainly about Kellen Moore, who I didn't remember if Kellen had showed up for the Manning Passing Academy. I text Archie and he was like, yeah, he not only showed up once, he showed up twice. So, and then I actually got a picture sent to me of Kellen Moore and the young man from Thibodeau that was in his group that Kellen was working with on the Friday of Manning Passing Academy. So Archie will be on to talk to us about Kellen Moore, certainly about the Super Bowl, and also too, to congratulate Archie and the Manning family, Children's Hospital named after the Manning name himself and Archie, and what him and Olivia have done for the area. That's a couple of texts I'm going to answer. It is from 6937. It's like, hey, Mike, do you know if Kellen Moore was a quarterback when Sean Payton was the offensive coordinator at Dallas? Sean left after the 2005 season, came with the Saints in January of 06. Kellen Moore finished in his last season at Boise State was 2011. He was undrafted. He was a free agent signee by the Detroit Lions in 2012. So the answer to that is no. Kellen Moore was not a quarterback when Sean Payton was the offensive coordinator at Dallas. And also about Mason Taylor, about his projection. Mason, to me, sits right kind of on the line here as a late first, early second round pick. You know, the Colston Loveland, along with Tyler Warren, who we talked about with Justin Mello, I think could quite possibly top 12 picks. And I think Loveland, he won't have to wait too much longer. I mean, he'll have his name pulled off the board. They are kind of running 1A, 1B at the tight end position with right now Tyler Warren in the lead. But I'm telling you, Mason Taylor made quite an impression. Now, Rero from Miami, he made some strides too. You may see four tight ends go in the top 45 picks of the draft. And it's a really good tight end draft class this year. Not as good as 2 years ago, but, man, front-end tight ends to have Tyler Warren and what a weapon he is. And you can use him all over the board. He's been flanked out wide. He's played the X and the Y receiver at Penn State, played tight end, fullback, H-back, yep. Played some quarterback, and he did play quarterback in high school. Actually, he's been a deep snapper, played on special teams. So to answer your question on Mason Taylor, he kind of straddles late first, early second round pick, and he's with a pretty good group there. There's about seven guys in that group from like 30 to 37 that you can look at. And where they're going to go, it just depends on needs. Because you look at the Chiefs and the Eagles, Commanders, those teams are going to pick needs. That, and unless somebody really top flight falls to you, they're going to go with needs. And you figure the Eagles will have somebody drop right in their lap.
Well, the Eagles don't really have many needs. That roster is so loaded from top to bottom. Mike, Tyler Warren is one of those names that's going to pop up a bunch from now until the end of April when we do the draft. Because if you're talking about trenches, yes, you can find a strong offensive lineman, a strong defensive lineman potentially at pick 9. But Tyler Warren, like Justin said, is potentially the guy a little bit outside the box that they could select there. Tet McMillan as well, the receiver from Arizona. But for Tyler Warren, it feels like around 9 is where his projections will start. But I'm telling you right now, Mike, and I think you'd agree with me this, I've seen a lot of mocks, the floor for Tyler Warren is 14. So if you're thinking that you can trade back, you know, and still get a guy like Tyler Warren, you better not trade back too far.
Nope.
Because the Indianapolis Colts sitting at number 14 would love to have a guy like Tyler Warren in their offense. And that is another one of those great fits, kind of like we were talking about if Mason Graham was there for Jacksonville at pick 5. It's a perfect fit for what they want to do on their defensive line.
I got a feeling, Charlie, he won't. I just think the way Mike Vrabel thinks about defense, and he was on those defenses when they had Vince Wilfork, kind of sit in the middle. And what he did also, too, with Justin Simmons, okay, with the Titans. Man, it's like that guy could fall to us to 4. Man, he ain't getting to 5.
It's just like we were saying, though, Mike, those top 3 prospects of this class, Abdul Carter, Travis Hunter, and Mason Graham. It feels like there's a little bit of a drop-off after those 3 guys.
And it's what you think about the quarterbacks.
Yeah, like Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders are going to end up being top 10 picks in this draft just because the need is so heavy with a lot of these teams up there. But there is a little bit of a gap right there. However, that's not to say that the Saints won't get a stud blue-chip prospect of their own at pick 9, but it's just not going to be one of those 3 guys, unfortunately. And if you really do want to think outside of the box, going back to Tyler Warren, just thinking of all the things he can add to your offense as just a weapon. Not even like you can take the tight end position off him, right? And look at what Brock Bowers did in year 1. I'm not saying that they're the same prospect necessarily. I think Brock was a lot more refined as a prospect entering the draft. But just seeing the rise of young tight ends in recent years, like what Sam Laporta did 2 years ago, like what Tucker Kraft continues to do in Green Bay, Dalton Kincaid in Buffalo, all these great young tight ends that have kind of come up the ranks. I really want the Saints to invest in that position. And if they want to spend that premium first-round pick on Tyler Warren, I would be the last one complaining about it.
Charlie, I just got a text from he's a scout in the National Football League, and he sends me this. Mike, I'm listening to you guys on the Big 870 WWL, and I just want to tell you, Travis Hunter is going to play cornerback. He'll play a little bit of wide receiver. I think whoever selects him will start him at corner, and then you build a package around him at wide receiver. The next best receiver / tight end is Tyler Warren.
I believe it.
Better than any other wideout in this draft class. Now, we're taking out Travis Hunter now. He did emphasize, I'm taking out Travis because most teams will put him at corner and try to build a package with him at wide receiver, which I would. He's going to play 12, 15 plays a game at wide receiver. But that's interesting. NFL scout saying he thinks Tyler Warren, if you put it wide receiver / tight end, he's 2.
Yeah, above Tet McMillan. I mean, I like that a lot. I'm a huge Tyler Warren fan. Yeah. So, once again, I do like McMillan. I've heard comps of him from Drake London to, like, Mike Evans and stuff like that. The kind of concerns about him separating at the NFL level, I think, are a little bit real.
What I see with him, Charlie, a lot of times, him coming out of a cut and a break, he's a little slow doing it. So, and it's because of how he's built. Man, he's such a tall cut guy. And to get that body into and out of a cut and break, that he can work on a little bit. I really think he can get better at that spot. When we come back, we'll have on with us Archie Manning to talk about Kellen Moore, Manning Passing Academy, Super Bowl, you name it. Archie will talk about it when we have him back here on the Big 870 WWL right after this break.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby
and Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Hear some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long in studio and on our Oakwood Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line. We have on with us the legendary Archie Manning. And Archie, thanks so much for joining us. The first time I ever get to introduce a guy that you got a hospital named after.
Well, we were very, very honored about that.
Congratulations. Congratulations, Archie. You well deserved, my friend.
Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate it. We're certainly honored and just thrilled to be associated with Children's Hospital.
I know you've always had that you were involved with cystic fibrosis, I know, for a long time also, mm-hmm. but always involved in children's charities and things like that. And a lot of times people don't see things that you do, what Olivia's done, also the boys, to help out the area. You know, because it's not something that people, you know, they want to read the bad stuff. They don't want to read something good somebody does. We live in that world today, you know, of dirty laundry, so to speak. But what you've done is really made a huge impact in this area.
Well, thank you, Mike. We've been blessed. You know, at an early age, as a young player with the Saints, I was asked to be involved in some projects around town. You know, one thing that kind of got me started, Mike, people would probably be interested to hear this. You know, our owner, John Meekum, lived over in Houston, and he wasn't here very much. He was in for the a little bit during the season and for the games and so forth. But John was involved, and he was generous. But he asked me to kind of take his place over here in a lot of projects. So it kind of got me jump-started in being involved with worthwhile projects, and I was always indebted to John for that. And I think it was the way I met so many wonderful people in New Orleans that were involved in helping people. And you know, you talked about dirty laundry, and you know this, especially right there on the Saints team, there's just a lots and lots of NFL players who do really good in the community. A whole bunch of them were honored on the field at the Super Bowl the other day. Is each team's nominee for the NFL Man of the Year. Cam Newton, not Cam Newton, what did I say?
Cam just Jordan.
Cam Jordan. I played with his daddy. I said, I am old. See, I can't remember names. I played with his daddy, but he was our representative for the Saints, and he's done so much in this community over a period of years, as other players have too. So thank you. The Manning family is just thrilled to be associated with what's now, we're proud of that, Manning Family Children's Hospital in New Orleans.
Archie, yesterday when we booked you, I was trying to think in my head, because people had asked me, and I'll ask you about Kellen Moore and your thoughts on him as a head coach, but they were asking me, okay, could Kellen Moore go to the Manning Passing Academy? And I was running it through my head, and I had about 8 years of lists that Greg Blackwell would send us on the guys that would show up at Manning. Mm-hmm. But it was before Kellen. And so I said, man, I'm not sure. So I texted you and you said, yeah, not only once, but twice he showed up at Manning.
He came before his junior year and for his senior year. You know, he was an outstanding college player. I think he was the conference player of the year three times out there at Boise and put up big numbers. Left-hander and played in that league. And, you know, something kind of interesting, Jeff Duncan made me aware of this. His dad was a legendary high school coach in the state of Washington.
Yep.
Multiple state championships. And Jeff was doing some research and sent me a picture of his dad, and his dad had on a Manning Passing Academy cap. So we're proud of our alums. We've got, you know, of course, we've got a lot of them playing in the NFL, but we've got more and more coaching now and assistant coaches throughout the league. And Kellen is our second head coach as a Manning Passing Academy alum. And that's a real, real good trivia question. Who the other one is? Is second?
Well, I didn't know until you told me. So on Football Jeopardy,
he was
Zach Taylor
with the radar, and he was at Nebraska, and we got him in here, and he was a counselor one summer.
Archie, your thoughts, this is old Bum Phillips line. You never know about a first-time head coach until he coaches for the first time to see how he handles it. But I do think you haven't played the position, understand this, that when you're the quarterback, man, every eye is on you. And so you understand the responsibility. I know Jake DeLome told me this. Mike, there's a time when you decide you're going to play quarterback, and you also take on the responsibilities that now it's just not playing your spot. Everybody's looking at you. Win or lose, you're the guy they're going to look at. And I do think that helps in becoming a head coach, because I think, the two positions, head coach and quarterback, you get way too much glory when you win and way too much negative when you lose.
Yeah, I think the quarterback position prepares you if you can be prepared to be a head coach. I guess years as an assistant certainly prepares you to be a head coach, especially if you're years as an assistant under some great coaches or under a Hall of Fame coach or some outstanding coaches. But also, from the get-go, if you play quarterback at the college level and you play a little bit of quarterback at the pro level, yeah, there's a lot of responsibility there. There's a lot to learn right there, and I think it gives you a little preparation if you do take that big step one day.
Archie, one of the things we saw on Super Sunday, and he came to the Manning Passing Academy. He was not at Oklahoma, but he was at Alabama, and that was Jalen Hurts. And getting to interview him there, he was so stoic. You couldn't tell if he was having a good day or a bad day. His demeanor sort of never changed. It was always sort of the same. I saw him show more emotion Sunday after the game, after the victory, than I'd ever seen Jalen Hurts ever show. But, your interaction with Jalen Hurts.
Well, it was good to see. I remember him coming to camp. Something funny. We always talk about what all Peyton, what Eli do at the Manning Passing Academy. He said, well, what does Cooper do? Well, Cooper's kind of the camp clown, Cooper kind of keeps the kids loose and does some funny stuff. Well, Jalen, when he came for his first time, he came as an Alabama quarterback. He kind of had a hairdo that was kind of up in a bun type of deal. And sure enough, Cooper came into a staff meeting about the third day there. Cooper had his hair in a bun, just like Jalen did, which was a big laugh from all the camp counselors that day. Jalen's a good person, Mike. I've been fortunate enough to keep up with him through the years, mostly by text, but he gets back to me. And, you're right. He's kind of quiet. I'm not sure sometimes what all goes through his mind. They were getting after him a little bit early in the year this year in Philadelphia. And of course, he had that concussion, which he had to miss a couple of games. I think going back, the fact that he lasted to the second round, this is kind of a little chip on his shoulder right there that he thought he was going, and he was speculated he'd be a first-down pick. And who knows, going all the way back to that championship game when he got benched that time and Tua comes in and wins the game. So the guy is a great athlete, and is evidenced by his play through the years. He's a competitor, and I think he very much deserves the good things that come his way in the last few days.
Also to old friend of ours, Vic Fangio. Man, Vic, I was telling Charlie this, when he came coach the Saints the first time with Coach Mora, Now, Vic is what, about maybe 5'6", 5'7"? He was maybe 155, 160 pounds. Yeah. And he was coaching Ricky Jackson and Pat Swilling.
He coached the Dome Patrol.
Yeah.
He coached the Dome Patrol. It was Vic Fangio. Isn't that something? And, hey, here's another one for you, Mike, that people don't think about. He got two rings in Philadelphia one time before.
Yeah. Yeah, with the USFL.
Yep.
He was on Jim Moore's
staff, and they won two USFL championships right there in Philadelphia before he came to the New Orleans Saints.
Bobby always says that, Vic, when are you going to win an NFL championship? And so they got to meet up last week, and he was giving Abed a grind. He said, if I had a better quarterback in New Orleans, I would have won one. And, you know,
I keep up with Vic, and he's a close friend, a good friend, of course. I kept up with him during the week. I didn't see him. He went low. He went underground during the week. He had his game face on, but it was fun. I texted him after the game. He was thrilled, and I got a copy of a text that Peyton sent him. And of course, you know, Vic went to the Colts with Jim Moore and got fired. And it really was in the story of why Jim Moore got fired. They wanted Jim to fire Vic Fangio, and he wouldn't do it. And ultimately, we had Jim getting fired by the Indianapolis Colts. But Peyton was congratulating Vic, and Vic said, "Peyton, why don't you come back out of retirement so I whip you too? Because I never did."
That's pretty good, Arch. Man, you've had so many of the quarterbacks come through, and one of the guys who really sort of got hot late in the year from a draft standpoint, and that's Jackson Dart, and what he did at Ole Miss. And it was a little erratic this year. And one of the traits with Jackson, I don't know, maybe this is part of working with Lane Kiffin. He wants to hit the big play. And a lot of times he would turn down what would look to be an easy throw downfield, 8-10 yards, but he was trying to hit the big play. But you see the talent in Jackson Dart, and that this draft class isn't nothing compared to a year ago with all those first-round pick guys. And, you know, exactly what people think of Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders, that'll all work out. But I think the number three guy on everybody's list now has become Jackson Dart. And him playing at Ole Miss, you got to know him, and certainly he was at Manning also. You know, your thoughts on Jackson?
He really is not a fine young man. You know, Mike, besides having, you know, being named all Southeastern Conference first team quarterbacks, a pretty big deal now when you line up all those 16 teams in the SEC now. So quite an accolade and an honor for Jackson. But going back, he was also honored in Las Vegas in December as one of the National Football Foundation's outstanding scholar athletes. So a real honor, you know. He's a bright kid. 3 years under Lane Kiffin. Yeah, maybe that's good. Maybe that's some of that's bad. But a lot of experience, a lot of SEC experience right there. And he played a lot of good football. Was a productive player. I think his stock went up in Mobile. Or maybe just at the end of the year. Just at the end of the year, and as they finished and the bowl game and so forth. I think his stock was climbing a little bit. You know, he runs pretty good, too. It's not like he's real fast and everything, but he runs and gets positive yardage. But he's played a lot of football. He's played a lot of football against good teams. And I think there's some pro teams that definitely have their eye on him.
One of the things, man, if the Saints could get Ole Miss's defensive line, man, I would take that in a heartbeat. Archie, I don't ever remember that much talent where you could have four guys all get selected, say in the top 110 guys, all on one team along the defensive line. Walter Nolan certainly made his presence felt after 1 year, and Princely, outstanding player, J.J. Fergie's. I remember he came to our camp, a Louisiana line camp, and, you know, I looked at him. I was like, "You play?" No. He said, "No, sir." He said, "I'm a player, or a fullback or tight end." I'm like, "Good gracious, I wouldn't want to tackle him on that." And Jared Ivey, who I thought had a terrific year, man, Ole Miss. I can never remember them having that much talent along the defensive line.
Probably not. Probably not, or maybe back in the 60s, some of those Johnny Vaught teams when he had some great defensive linemen. But you're right. And most of it through the portal. You know, Lane is kind of known as king of the portal, although a good friend Brian Kelly might be fighting for the honors right there. A lot of new faces showing up in Baton Rouge. So it's an interesting time in college football.
I think one of the things with the Eagles win, it went to show you that, you know, this game has evolved a lot of different ways, and certainly you got to have the quarterback to make things work. But you know what? It still comes down to two real important things. You got to be able to run the football, and you got to be able to stop the run. And you better be good up front, offensive, defensive line. And that's where the Eagles, they tsunamied the Chiefs. And we saw this a few years back in the Super Bowl when the Chiefs, I think they were down three starting offensive linemen. Man, Tampa Bay really got after Mahomes. But I don't ever remember another time that Mahomes was this flustered and they never blitzed one time. But it looked like they had six people coming on every play.
Yeah. I can't wait. I'll have an extended conversation with Vic here probably in a few days, Mike, when the smoke clears. And he texts me during the week. He's, "Oh, these Chiefs are good. Boy, they really can move the football." I got to ask Vic, did you know this? Did you know you could do this? Because he didn't blitz, and I don't think he planned to blitz, and he did it. You have four people up front, but six people going in and out. How many of them from Georgia, too? I talk about the Georgia lines up, some of the players they line up these days. Seems like...
Is Georgia East in Philadelphia?
Pardon me? Yeah.
Is Georgia East? Man, the way Howie's picking
Howie
all those guys.
All his time in Athens, Georgia right there. But that, I tell you, that was just... unbelievable what they did. I mean, that was just I hadn't seen that in a while. Just dominating right there. And Patrick hadn't seen that in a long, long time. He didn't have a chance. He just didn't have a chance. It just goes to show you, as football changes, we talk about all these new things and the read option and multiple receivers and everything, but you just put it on the line. You got to be able to run the football, which, you know, them picking up Saquon Barkley in the most unbelievable MVP type year that he had, and then their ability to stop the run. It's still old fashioned football, and that's how you win.
Before I let you go, Archie, I got to have you comment about Jaden Daniels. We saw it a year ago with C.J. Stroud, and it's rare that you see a guy come out of college and sort of take over the league, and he plays like a veteran. We saw it with C.J. a year ago with the Texans. And then Jaden comes in, and, you know, they're two different personalities. One thing with Jaden, I almost got to check his pulse to make sure he's still beating, because he's the coolest cat they got out there. Everything around him, you know, the explosions are going off. But, you know, he's just, "Hey, I got it. Your thoughts on Jaden Daniels and what he did as a first-year guy in the NFL?
Just spectacular. Got to see him during the week. I went to a luncheon that had some high-profile pro football people there, and Jaden was there the other day. Got a visit with him. You know, we had him. Yeah. We didn't have him but one year at the Manning Pass Academy as a full counselor, yep. Mike. That was before his last year, but we had him the year before. Remember when I brought the LSU receivers?
I remember.
He came with him. Yeah.
I remember that.
But he's always been, but he impressed me that day, just his demeanor. You know, he was glad to be there, but he doesn't go overboard, and he was just calm, and he kind of went out and threw the football, and then he came back. We really enjoyed having him in camp. But, you know, I agree with you. I said last offseason, I've never seen a rookie play as good as Stroud did. I've never seen a rookie play as good as P.J. Stroud did until this year, where Jalen came back and matched it or surpassed it and just played. He added, you know, more of his running and his rushing and the way he led that football team. I'm really impressed with his the coaching there with the Commanders and what they did, from the head coach right down to if I'm on the offensive side. It was really something to see. Now, Now, Stroud fell off a little bit in his second year, and sometimes that's other teams just respecting him and getting ready for him and shutting him down. So it'll be real interesting to see what the Commanders can do next year and how Jalen can follow up that Rookie of the Year season.
You know, one of the things is that another Manning Passing Academy guy was helping coach him at quarterback this year in Blau with the Commanders.
I heard from him today. And he, remember that name. It's somebody that's going to be, as a matter of fact, I think some teams would like to have him now. The Commanders wouldn't let him leave. They had him under contract. They wouldn't let him leave. They wanted him working with Jalen Daniels another year. So that Cliff Kingsbury, to me, is a star. I think he's a star in this league. The job he did this year with that Commanders offense was spectacular. And then there was David Blau right there working with Jalen. Those are two good ones. Two good ones.
Archie, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon. Always appreciate your time. And again, congratulations. Well-deserved honor. And that's something, man. Boise Bollinger told me this. He said, Mike, it's BB Canteen at the World War II Museum, okay, where you go in, see the shows and things mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, 50 years from now, ain't nobody going to remember who BB is. But he said, my grandkids will. It was named after him. And he said, I didn't want my name on it, but the BB, because what the grandkids call him today, he said, they're old enough, they'll tell their kids, hey, that's after Grandpa.
Well, again, we're really honored. We're so appreciative to all the great folks from Children's Hospital and just so honored to be associated with him and doing good for health care for young people in Louisiana. We're proud to be part of it.
Thank you, Arch. Appreciate it.
Okay, Mike. Always a pleasure, man.
Thank you. Archie Manning, Saints legend, talking about the NFL, Saints, Kellen Moore. We'll be back with our triple option feature right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, it's our triple option feature. Myself along with Steve Geller, Charlie Long. Steve, you next.
Well, besides me and all the Eagles fans being happy with the Super Bowl results, another one that was the Nevada Sportsbook, guys. The state sports, they won a net of $22.1 million on the Super Bowl. That's the most ever, according to the Nevada Gaming Control Board. The record haul for Nevada Sportsbook comes despite a significant drop in the amount wagered. Approximately $151 million was bet on this year's Super Bowl. That's a 20% decrease from last year. That's pretty surprising. The $151 million is the lowest amount wagered on the NFL championship since 2021. And now the betting on the big game, relatively balanced, you know, between Eagles and Chiefs. What really people took a bath on were the prop bets.
Saquon.
Exactly. There you go. Saquon Barkley, they had scoring a touchdown. We know that didn't happen. The Nevada Sportsbook's another big winner in this Super Bowl.
Yeah, like usual. Charlie?
Guys, Anthony Rendon, I mean, Steve, you and I were kind of joking about this earlier, signed a 7-year, $245 million contract with the Angels back after the 2019 season when the Nationals ripped my heart out and took down my Astros in 7 games of the 2019 World Series. So Anthony Rendon at that point was one of the best third basemen in baseball. He signed a gigantic contract with the Angels. He has played, I'm going to give you the numbers here. Since 2021, home runs, Anthony Rendon 13, IL stints 13. It gets worse. Games played, 2016, 156, 2017, 147, 2018, 136, 2019, 146. And then the last 4 years with the Angels, 2021, 58 games played, 2022, 47 games played, 2023, 43 games played, 2024, 57 games played. SpotTrack had a great tweet about this. Anthony Rendon's latest hip injury, and this is where it all kind of ties in, because the Angels GM today said that he's having hip surgery and will be out long term. Right before the start of the baseball season. That's kind of interesting timing there. That 7-year contract is going to end this year, and Anthony Rendon's time in LA has just been an absolute nightmare for poor Angels fans. And SpotTrack's tweet, if his time in LA is in fact over and he doesn't play at all this season with this hip injury that he's going to be out long term with, Anthony Rendon saw time in just 257 out of a possible 1,032 games, earning over $228 million in that time. Is that one of the worst contracts in professional sports history?
It's got to be.
I mean, realistically, I know it's definitely one of the worst in baseball history.
Yeah, and normally that's where it would land in baseball. Now, again, a lot of people say that Deshaun Watson deal financially would rank up there. But, man, that one, Charlie, is really unreal.
Poor Angels fans.
Yep. Spring camp has opened for LSU, so to speak, and they've updated their roster.
Mm.
And guess who's made the change? Juwan Johnson, who was a defensive back and listed at running back, is now listed as a quarterback on LSU's football team.
What?
And if you remember, Juwan, he actually came on the show with us right before the start of summer camp. He was a quarterback in high school, totaled over 14,000 yards, total offense, 171 total touchdowns. Interesting now that he is listed as a quarterback on the depth chart for the Tigers. Are they going to build maybe a package for Juwan Johnson to play short yardage goal line with him using his running skills? Because I've always felt he was really more an offensive player than a defensive guy. I always felt he would probably end up playing slot receiver or something like that. Interesting, though, that he starts spring camp at quarterback.
Maybe LSU's got their own Swiss Army knife.
Might well be. I know one thing, man, with the ball underneath his arms, he's sort of magic. He was in high school. So we'll see how this works out for Juwan Johnson. We'll be back to finish it up here on Sports Talk right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. We're finishing up here in hour number two of Sports Talk on the Big 870. Steve, tell everybody what's happening in the 6 o'clock hour. I know you got Joe Healy from D1 Baseball.
Yeah, going to talk a little LSU baseball and also SEC. Obviously, the season's starting up on Friday. Also get into some Pelican sound. Head coach Willie Green, pregame thoughts going into this game against Sacramento. Also, new Pelican, Bruce Brown audio of what he had to say the other day.
We'll be back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870 right after this news break.